This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Ray Ferraro will join us into the 6 p.m. hour. Steve Phillips still to come as the Jays take on the Angels again tonight after losing in extras last night. They've lost 3 in a row, and they're 3-4 in the season. David Phelps will take the mound for the Jays tonight. So we'll catch up with Phillips. We'll tee up the Jays weekend. Raptors losing last night. It's a formality. They're 3 back of the Bulls now. It's over, and it's time to just start losing out. Dignified tank. You got 20 games left. See if you can lose 17 or 18 of them, honestly, at this point. Like, you've been through it. It sucks. You're in Tampa. Your season's done. Go out in a way.
Start
that gives
the Leaf routine.
Yeah.
Remember the Leafs
balls
back in the day? It's like toenail, you're out for the season. Like, everyone was out for the season.
Yeah.
Coming down
yeah
the stretch, it was like, JVR, you got a bad eye. Oh, you're out for the season. We'll not play again. Just start sitting, guys, man. It's not worth it.
They're just doing that anyway because of legitimate injuries. But, like, Lowry has been upgraded, I believe, to questionable for tomorrow. Why? You know, like, just take another day off. Like, Cleveland's yeah a bad team. Yeah. You might actually win that game. Like,
the fans
I hate
are
having
saying
that mentality, but it's in their best interest now. Like, they just
every
lose
fan
out
is saying, why did you keep Lowry to be doing this, to go down the stretch like this? Like,
well,
what was the point? If this guy walks, they're going to be so pissed, man.
That's
what is
my
the point
question.
Of that?
The point is maybe they have some formality worked out where he signs, re-signs, and you know, it's a cap situation and may sign for less. Like, I don't know, but to me, they had a plan. Because you wouldn't just let the asset walk for nothing. Like, just being a good guy to him. Like, Masai is they're methodical. To me, they've got a plan, and that involves Kyle Lowry moving forward.
Well, I think Lowry was more than prepared to leave too. So it wasn't about
him
dying.
He
was dying to go. Maybe not dying to go, but he was prepared to go. So it's not as if Masai was worried about the optics of him wanting to stay, and you still ship them out. That ship had sailed. It was go time. Kyle had packed his bag. The U-Haul was there. He was ready to move on. So this is an example where I think Masai Ujiri gets the benefit of the doubt and maybe too much of it. Like, I'm not sure there is some big plan. He may have just overplayed his hand. He may have been waiting for some big haul, didn't get it, and then realized, uh-oh, Miami's out, Philly's out, the Lakers aren't paying, we're stuck. And if you don't win a title 2 years ago, it's a lot louder, it's a lot more vitriol. But because it's Masai, maybe he's got a plan. You know, maybe he's got it all figured out. I don't know. He may not have. It's not like he's
it's,
like
it's
Masai's
amazing
human.
The leverage you have when you win a championship. It's like, oh, he didn't move Kyle, and Kyle's still here, but there's something behind the scenes going on that's so ultra smart that it's got to be the smart thing to do because of what he did and won the championship.
Exactly.
Man.
That's
it's like
I
you
have
think this guy's a mastermind. Everything he touches or every viewpoint, it's like, that guy must be way smarter than me, so everything he does is just gold.
They've clearly
made
mistakes.
You've got to see through that.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
They've made mistakes.
Yes.
They let Serge Ibaka walk. They replaced him with Aaron Baines. That is one of the bigger drop-offs in franchise history, going from one guy to the next. You know, that's just a fact. If they overplayed their hand with Lowry, that's a mistake. Clearly, it's a mistake. It doesn't change his overall legacy, but there's nothing wrong with just calling it like it is. You know,
right.
Masai is still just a human trying to do a tough job. He's going to make a mistake or two. Bobby Webster going to make a mistake or two. But they're back in action against Cleveland tomorrow night. And, again, Ray will join us later this afternoon. James Duffy coming up here in a moment. We're tracking the end of round two at the Masters. A lot of the big names are out. Koepka's out. DJ's out. McIlroy's out. And that doesn't mean there's not going to be big names going into the weekend. There will be. Thomas is up there. Finau is up there. Spieth is up there. But there's also a couple of guys like Will Zalatoris, Justin Rose, Leishman, you know, guys of that ilk. Cameron Champ's having a pretty good round, too. It looks like he could be in contention. Siwoo Kim, who's putting with a 3-wood as we currently speak, is potentially in contention. So there's still going to be some big names, but a lot of the rock stars, it looks like they're either not going to make the weekend or they're just going to fade away. So it could be a little bit of a different weekend than maybe some were expecting.
Is that going to mess with both of your pools head-to-head?
No. Well, It doesn't really matter. As long as I got Spieth, Justin Thomas kind of in the mix, that Justin Rose I even will cheer for and hope that, good things happen. But that's a leaderboard. I'm on the couch anyway watching
it.
Right.
Yeah. It doesn't matter who's on the leaderboard.
You want some juice though, Hayes. Like it puts your ass on the couch a little quicker and says, "Let's go."
Yes. Ideally what it is it's Thomas, Spieth, you know, Reed, and then a couple of random guys. You know, Finau chasing it. Like that's a compelling storyline for sure. And the Golf Report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. And James Duthie would generally be down there. He was down there in November, but it's a big day here at TSN on Monday, and I assume that's why JD is still up here. He's been man in the desk, doing his thing in the studio, doing a great job day in, day out the last couple of days. And here he is from TSN. Golf guy, James Duthie. What's up, JD?
How you doing, boys?
Doing very well. Very well. What's it like to call Augusta National in the Masters from Studio 6 here in Toronto?
Well, it's not quite as glorious.
How sour are you on a scale of 1 to 10? Because we were talking about it. O brought it up. Like, how sour are you on a scale of 1 to 10 that you are not at the Masters? And I believe, like, Puffy and the whole crew are right down there.
17.
Yeah.
Look, I knew as soon as the NHL sked was announced it was going to be an issue. And we sort of, you know, we tried. There are ways I could have gotten back probably, but you know, two things, a Monday playoff or any sort of rain delay or darkness delay in a playoff that led to Monday golf would kill me. And secondly, I think, you know, realistically in these times, even though, you know, the crew down there is sort of in their own bubble and they are getting tested daily and such, it's not the best look, I don't think, COVID protocol-wise to be in Georgia one day and be in a set with others on Monday. So I get it. It's not nearly as fun as being there. I actually get to watch more golf though, because as I've told you guys before, when you're down at the Masters, I like to get out on the golf course to watch the golf, because what's the point of being there if you're not going to do that? But you miss so much being on the golf course. And so parked in my little teeny dressing room here watching, I actually see way more golf than I see on a normal year. So, which is basically admitting that I faked the post game shows the other years.
Speaking of not the best look, do you think Siwoo Kim's caddy said, maybe don't break your putter when you're in the mix at the leaderboard? If you're 25 over, go ahead and smash it into 30 pieces. This guy's on the first page of the leaderboard and breaks his putter on 15, and now he's bringing it home with a 3-wood on the greens.
That's one of the flabbergasting moments I've seen in Masters history. Like, how mad do you have to be? I mean, I guess, you know, the passion just took over for a second, because he's got to be. He actually almost made a birdie putt on 16 with the 3-wood, but you're right. I can see Rory doing it now. No problem.
Oh, God, you know, James. Kepka's, what is his game home at?
You're three shots off the lead. While we're with putting, just one other aside. Did you guys see Justin Rose on 4 today leave his putt in the fringe?
Yes.
Do you know how many times I did those highlights 4 times today? Do you know how many times I had to stop myself from saying, just like O-Dog did in our match with Dubas? I wanted to say it, and then I couldn't say it because, you know, you had no way to retort because you're not on the broadcast, and truthfully is you made one bad shot. I made about 15. So I didn't say it, but I bit my lip 4 times wanting to say it.
Dude, you just mentioned Rory. We were texting earlier. Did you think it was possible for his game to be where it's at right now? I mean,
No. You
mentioned his shot on 10. He hit it into a spot that only one other human being has, and that human being is James Duthie.
That's right. So on 10, when I got to play Augusta 5 years ago, on 10 there is this giant bush to the right that I'd never seen on TV. Because no one is anywhere near there. And on my second on 10, I think I took a 3-wood and hit it into this bush. And my caddy said, yeah, you're not going to find that. And I said, I didn't even know that bush was there. I watched the Masters for 20 years. And then Rory hosled one a few minutes ago, and I'm like, that's my bush.
That should be renamed after you.
Yeah, that's my bush.
That's my bush.
Yeah, hashtag. I need to own that one. Well, you look at all the kind of old timers that are in this tournament. Larry Mize and Sandy Lyle, Freddie Couples is in that spot. Now VJ's in there. You just know these guys are going to be 14, 15, 17, 19 over. Sung J.M. is right in the middle of them. Sung J.M. blew an 80 today. He's 13 over. Sandy Lyles is 12 over for the tournament and in the clubhouse. Sandy
Dude,
Lyles
they come up with that every day. Yesterday, you know what it was? Bryson DeChambeau sat the same score as Ian Woosnam.
I love those stats, though. They're the best. The fact that M lost to Sandy Lyle and Woosnam. Woosnam's in at 9 over.
Okay, so I'm in about 3 different Masters pools, but one of the producers of the show that we're doing comes to us and says, hey, we're going to do this little pool. I don't know, it's Golf Talk Canada, Zucchino or whatever. So it's like Bob Weeks, Zucchino, Lindsay Hamilton, who hosts the post show, and myself or whatever. Just this little four-way pool. And they gave me like four, you know, the old, you get four groups of players to choose from. You choose like a defending champion and, you know, an international and whatever and whatever. And somehow, here were my choices in this thing. My international ended up being Jason Day. Mm. Jason Day, by the way, 8 over through 15 today. Patrick Cantlay, I went for. Cantlay finishes 8 over out of the tournament. Somehow I got M, 13 over. And DJ is my fourth guy. I am like a combined 42 over par in this little pool with four people. Like, I'm 74 strokes behind Lindsay Hamilton.
That might honestly be the worst team in the history of a
golf pools.
Yeah, the history
of
a golf pool.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment.
Yeah, that really is awful. And yeah. Jason Day and M alone are plus 21.
Well, so I was looking at, it was a weird grouping. Like, I didn't ignore, I know people would hear those picks and go, you know, you didn't pick Speed Thomas. I think I did it in about 2 seconds, but I love Cantlay going in. So, and then the other groups were weird. M was like, you know, top five in November, so it made sense in the group he was in. Mm-hmm. And Jason Day had been playing decent, so I thought, yeah, I'll grab Jason Day. And DJ, you know, well, DJ's a decent choice. So, yeah, it's a complete and utter disaster.
Jimmy, Zucchino had a tweet where he was talking about everyone talking about bombers, and he mentioned the best ball strikers in the world, or three of them are in the top 10 or 12. Do you still think it's about, like he was like, iron players, it's still important, but is it still about the long ball? Whoever wins this tournament is a guy that's got to at least hit it 320?
Well, let's look at the board. And Zalatoris is one of those guys, even though I don't know, his tee shot on 18, he hit it about as far as I've ever seen anyone hit it. I think he had 134 coming in on 18.
Incredible.
Which is, that's ludicrous from where they hit it from back there. And he's skinny, weighs about 135 pounds. But Rose is, you know, Rose hits, I would probably say, average distance with the best players in the world right now. Harmon, who's tied at 6 under, not really. Leash hits it pretty good. Jordan's just average right now. So, you know, Finau's in it, but I would say no. Oh, I guess. I mean, I probably would have said yes if you asked me that at the beginning. But if you look at this board, it's not like that. And I think that's the great thing about Augusta. And DeChambeau had a good round today, but I love it. I hate to say it. I don't wish bad on the guy, but I love it when he fails. Because of that, the fact that, like, I was thinking in November, which was sort of DeChambeau's first Masters in the new big beefed up Bryson, right? And I thought, you know, this had the potential to be Tiger in 97, where he was putting it into stupid spaces and he ends up shooting 2300 and wins by 9. I thought that was a possibility. And then he goes and says it's a par 67, which was an idiotic thing to say, and it'll probably haunt him until he wins this tournament or contends. He was much better today, and he still might get in the hunt. But I love the fact that the ball strikers, that it's not playing that way right now. And so I would love the idea of somebody who doesn't hit it. Like Harmon, nobody, you guys were talking about the leaderboard just before I came on, and nobody's going to be excited if Harmon his wins on Sunday, but that guy hits it about 245, I think. So it would be pretty cool for golf for somebody like that to be in it.
James, getting to your Monday job, how busy do you think we all are going to be?
Oh, noodles. I probably have a job from the company to sell this thing, but I don't think it will be. And, you know, we'll see what happens this weekend. I'm actually, they're still on Frank's list there. There's still a bunch of guys out there, which is a good thing. And if you can get to, even if you can get to Sunday, if a bunch of trades happen Sunday, at least we can all talk about them on Monday, right? So,
right.
But I don't have high hopes for this one. And I used to be, like, if it was 5 years ago, I'd probably be fretting that possibility. But I just sort of came to terms with a few years ago. This is my new attitude. It's like, it's like if you go into the Masters with no expectations to win. Maybe Justin Rose, after his back injury, he went in with zero expectations, and now he's playing well. And so I go in with zero. I go in thinking there's not going to be a single trade, and then we're just going to have to fill 9 hours. And so every trade will feel like a bonus. And that's the only way I can handle trade deadline now.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the weekend plays out in terms of who else is available and how many surprises we're going to see. You know, a lot of it at this time of year, and we've been doing this for a long time, it's the usual suspects. You know who's on the board. You referenced Frank's trade bait board, and generally speaking, those are on the money, you know. But every once in a while, you catch someone that becomes available that you were a little bit surprised by.
And
Blake Coleman being one of them. And a lot of times what you see is you hear about someone that almost got flipped, and then – invariably the insiders say that'll be something to watch for in the summer
because oh, come on.
But it always happens that way. Like he almost got flipped. I was surprised. That tells us he's probably available in the summer. It's like we're already right. Planting seeds for what's going to happen in July.
But then he never gets moved in the summer.
But
either.
He might not get moved in the summer either.
Right.
But
I don't know. Like I said, it's it is what it is. I really take it you know, it's we don't have us all together like that very often, right? So if I could listen to you guys and have Ferraro around and Kevin Weeks is on the broadcast and Bobby Mack's back, it's still a pretty fun day to sit around and talk hockey. Can I ask you guys, I know I come to you guys for a lot of personal advice occasionally.
Yes.
I know you probably have to get out of here, but I need to ask you this question, okay? One of my three dogs has problems with her back legs.
Okay.
So my wife has gone out and bought a stroller and is now walking the dog in the neighborhood in a stroller.
It's ridiculous, man.
Do I have to move?
Says the guy who carries a cat in a knapsack.
In a harness. Yeah,
I just think people, it's too much to go for a walk with a stroller and your dog in it, man.
You can't walk a dog in a stroller. I can't.
No.
She can walk the dog in the stroller, but I cannot participate in that, can I?
I don't
think
so.
How bad are the legs? Like are they, is it to a point where they...
It's a sad story. She's 8, 9 years old, and I think she's got some problems with her back, and she's losing control of her back legs. So I've been carrying her, basically. I let her walk for 30 yards, and then I put her up on my shoulder and carry her along.
Might be time to say goodbye, Jimmy.
I'm going to have to walk the other two dogs while she's strolling the dogs. So, I don't know. I just come to you guys for the thumbs up or thumbs down on whether I have to leave the neighborhood.
I'm the wrong person to ask because animals hate me, and I'm not the biggest fan of them. But I will say this. Get a red wagon. Put the dog in the red wagon. That's more like the stroller seems like you're in Hollywood and you're Paris Hilton.
Yeah,
like
more manly is the wagon more a more manly option.
I think the red wagon says like the dog's got something going on here and we're trying to help it through the final years of its life. If you're putting it in a stroller, they're like, that's James Duthie. He's a prima donna from TSS.
Get a satchel for a mountain bike. A satchel for a mountain bike. And you go for a bike ride and you shove the dog in the satchel.
Well, I was
and
gonna
if you
get
can't
a baby
do that,
Bjorn, just put that dog right in front like we used to hoist the kids around.
Yeah, that's not a bad play either. I think the dog would be fine with anything. If you're helping
the dog loves
out.
The stroller. That's
yeah,
the problem. She's all happy because the dog's happy as a cat.
Well,
what kind of stroller is it?
It's a baby stroller.
Yeah, like it's a probably bugaboo a $500 stroller. Yeah, it's a bugaboo $500 stroller. Probably has the sun, you know, the sun visor, everything. It's probably, yeah, she probably spent $500 on that thing.
I know she got it at Yorkdale.
Oh, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, five star across
for
the
sure. board. Yeah, I'm telling you, Home Depot.
You show me where the dog stroller section is at Holt.
Yeah, I like it. At least
go ahead. Hey,
you'll have style. You'll have style if you do that. Well, if you do it, send us a pic or send us video if you're going to do it. I think that's the only way we can support it, because then we'd have some good content. Or save it for Monday. That might be a quality. I think that'd be a good bit. Duffy walking around the studio with his dog and – yeah, there's a lot of potential action there.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, have yourself a weekend, and we'll see you dancing on Monday. We're looking forward to it.
Okay. Enjoy the Masters, boys.
There he is, James Duffy from TSN. Coverage of the Masters Thursday, Friday throughout the weekend. Trade Center again starting at 8 a.m. on Tuesday or on Monday. 8 a.m. on Monday. Trade Center right here on TSN. The Jays back in action tonight. Leafs in action tonight or tomorrow night. Raptors in action tomorrow night. The Masters cooking this weekend. There's a lot to get to. Steve Phillips still to come. Ray Ferraro still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Steve Phillips will join us in about 40 minutes. Ray Ferraro still to come. Ray's coming up around 6:25. Leafs back in action tomorrow night. The trade deadline is on Monday. We were just talking about that with Duffy. And we'll see what happens. There's going to be some moves, but I think Jim Benning came out recently, the GM of the Canucks, and said, don't expect a lot. You know, he locked up Tanner Pearson, who was probably the primary target for a lot of teams. Thought maybe if he's available, that's a guy you go out and chase. But now they've signed him. And with COVID and everything that's going on out there, I'm not sure we're going to hear a lot of noise out of Vancouver.
And there's some noise outside of the locker room in Vancouver. People are – as soon as that signing happened, I like Tanner Pearson. I think he's a good left winger. But – and Vancouver likes him. But I think the fans and people around that team are like, did we really have to lock this guy up for three more years at $3.5 million? They're just wondering why, because then they bring back the money to Myers. They bring back the money to Beagle, the triple bogey on Erickson. And then it's just like that triggered all of the emotions of where the money is allocated in Vancouver, and people are losing it out there again.
I get that, but I actually thought that was a pretty value contract. Like, it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't $5 million a year. And to me, Pearson's a, you know, a good top six forward. Like, I don't, you know, you certainly could play in your top nine if you're not paying, you know, if you're not a top heavy team, and eventually you might be having to pay Hughes. But, like, what is Patterson's deal even going to look like?
I have no idea how to get a read
because
on that.
Because for me, it's a bridge until he reaches what you expect or you hope that he gets there. Because here's a guy who's, you know,
I think he's a superstar.
But what's his number then? Or just off the top of your head, what do you think you would pay a guy like Pettersson? Because he's not a 100-point guy. He's not a 50-goal man. He's not double digits for me. Is it Matthew Barzell's number? Is it something
all
like
day.
That?
Yeah, that sounds about right, but I think it all comes down to what his agent would be pursuing in terms of who they think he is, because ultimately that's what it is with Pettersson. He's had a basically a lost season. You know, he had the injury problems before this COVID shutdown. He wasn't playing so well anyway. This was a platform contract year for him, and it's a complete throwout if you're the player. If you're the team, you're like, hey, look at this. Like, you think you're getting this deal? We can't give you that deal. Like, it feels like, from my perspective, Pettersson is still probably going to be searching for money based on potential and based on what he has shown at times. Like, his rookie season, he was a phenom. He was unbelievable. And when he has been healthy and playing at the top of his game, he's a stud. He's a superstar. That's what he is. But he's had some injury. Like, this year is a complete throwaway. It's a complete throwaway season in terms of negotiating.
With his struggles on top of the injuries, it is a throwaway.
It is, but hear me out on this, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the player at all, but he had two – no, because
– I just love when somebody says that, because usually a disrespectful
it's
comment
It's just setting
follows.
The scene no, but, for an absolute
okay,
butcher
I'm setting
job.
The table. But no, but Hayes, you just said – you just said, well, he's a superstar. 66 points, 66 points. Like, that's William Nylander territory.
That is.
William Nylander's not a superstar.
No, he's
not. He's a great player. And that's the difference. So is he going to be paid as a great player, or is he going to be paid as a superstar? Because to me, yes, we believe the trajectory is there to get to the next level. 28 goals, 27 goals in 68 games. So that's a 30-plus goal guy. You know, again, really good player, great, you know, great player. Superstar is the guys in Edmonton. Superstars are the guys at the top in Toronto, being paid accordingly. That's the difference.
That's
fine. That's
what
I keep coming back to.
The biggest factor is going to be what their agents think. You look at Quinn Hughes,
and
the
team.
Other guy they have to deal with. The other guy they got to deal with is Quinn Hughes.
I don't disagree.
He's projecting to say, his agent's going to say, this guy's already a stud. In 3 years from now, he's going to be winning a Norris Trophy. So we want to get paid. It just depends on what their agents think. They might not want bridge deals. They might want big cake. I'm not saying they're going to get double-digit numbers, but they might want big cake.
Right. I don't disagree. I'm trying. If we're the three of us are trying to figure out exactly what is Elias Pettersson as a player. Like, what's the top end? Where is his ceiling? Do you see him as a 40-goal guy? Is he at 35?
Yes.
And 35,
I think
is
he
a 75-point guy, 80-point guy?
I think it can be more than that as well. I think your numbers, they're a little bit deceiving, because last year he had 66 points in 68 games. That wasn't a full season,
correct,
as we know. So
that's right, I was saying, yeah.
Yes, and if we're going to extrapolate that, and even his rookie year, he missed 11 games. So he had 66
he played 71.
And 71. He's got 153 games on 153 points on 165 career games. So under a point a game, but not substantially under a point a game. Like, he's a really good player. As a young player, to be in that stratosphere means he is growing into something. He has shown at his height, again, this is a guy, he brings superstar, I guess, caliber and also marketability with him too, which, again, I don't know if the team's going to care so much about that on the GM level. The owner will and should, and I think his agent probably comes to the table on that. I think agents throughout the league have also, they've changed their tune. Like, it wasn't long ago where this is kind of what Mark Scheifele was putting up. You know, Scheifele, maybe not quite as substantial, didn't win Rookie of the Year, but the point being is, at that point, it was like, well, we'll pay you based on this as opposed to what you're going to become. Nathan MacKinnon, the same thing. Even Draisaitl, to an extent. Draisaitl wasn't putting up 100 points, and he got an unbelievable deal for Edmonton because they're like, hey, you're young and you haven't done this. I think the agents, and it really started in Toronto. It started in Toronto, and I think the rest of the league has become aware of this anyway, where they're like, I don't care what we did 3 years ago. You're paying me because this is what it's going to become. And that doesn't mean the team's going to definitely do it. The team can do whatever they want as well. And Pettersson and Hughes, they're both going to be restricted free agents. So there's only so much power they can have. But Nylander was a restricted free agent. He sat in Sweden until they gave him what he wanted. Marner was restricted. He got the second largest contract in the league for a winger. You know, the game has changed. Right. And I think based on what you're saying, Noodles, I don't think you're wrong. It's probably more of a reasonable quote-unquote deal, but I'll bet you Pettersson goes and says, I don't care about reasonable. I'm telling you what I'm going to be, and I want to be paid like that.
I understand
and
that.
And he has the leverage of saying when they start the hockey season without him, the fans are going to say, what the hell are we going to do without Pettersson? What the hell are we going to do without Quinn Hughes?
I understand leverage. That. I think you – and you know what? You're only worth – what somebody's willing to pay you at that point too, and his value to the Vancouver Canucks. We've said it all along, and we might as well be consistent. In Toronto, Mitch Marner said, I want to be close to 34.
Yep.
I want to be close, you know, 91 signed there. Like, they were doing their internal, I guess, comparisons against each other, not against the rest of the league, because we were going, hold on a second here, Pasternak's at this, and Marner, you know, like Nylander, like it was, and that's probably how it's going to unfold in Vancouver. But I struggle when I think of Pettersson, and I watch Vancouver as much as anybody, and you know, Ray could weigh in on it when we talk to him as well. But I try to identify what he is going to be as a player when he hits his ceiling, because we talk about it every night in this Canadian division. It's in Edmonton, it's in Toronto, it's in Winnipeg, when you're looking down strength down the middle. Now in Vancouver, it's going to be Pettersson and Horvat if Pettersson gets locked up, and those are nice players, but where would you rank those duos if you had
well,
to do it?
Well, they're fourth in the country right now.
Right,
they're
exactly.
Absolutely fourth.
So, and that's my point. So it's if you're doing it against your peers or if you're doing it in your team, like they're the comparisons, it'll be very interesting to where they fall.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun case study. It is going to be fun. And I think that my understanding is from afar, a lot of the issue from people in Vancouver is that you're making sure everything else gets done. You're spending all your money, and then you're in a crunch when the big boys come up. Because regardless of what they project to be, the fact is, if that team's going to get to where they want to get to, Patterson's got to likely be their best forward. Quinn Hughes is going to be their best defenseman. And if you've locked up guys like Pearson, like Beagle, you got Roussel,
Demko,
you got Erickson.
Got the goalie locked up.
Demko is a good deal. And that's a step. That's a different position and
very
as important. Like, if Demko's your number one, he's as important, if not more, than your number one center, number one defenseman. But I think you look at the way Jim Benning and the Canucks have operated. They splash money around on third line this, third pairing this. You know, backup goalie, even Holtby's got a pretty decent ticket for another year. I think $4 million for another year.
Four and a half
for another year. And it's like, well, what if Pettersson goes, I don't want a bridge, and I'm not signing for 6.5? What the hell are you going to do?
Right.
Like, what is Benning going to do if he doesn't have the money? Like, unless you're going to start shipping guys overboard. But then it's like, who are you going to ship overboard? Why did you sign Pearson? Like, maybe you had to let him go because you knew you were going to be in this spot.
That's what everybody's saying. There's some money locked up here, and then you go and give that money. What if that's the difference between these two guys getting done?
Well, but here's the thing. I would say I have no problem with the Pearson deal. It's just the problem is, like you pointed out, is there's other deals there that it started to shine a light on. Now he has to find a way to get rid of one of those deals or two. Expansion's coming. He may have to package something up with a draft pick to make one of those deals go away. Unfortunately,
that's
going to be the cost of doing business. You're right. But I talked to a manager the other day who was like, you know, said, I'm not only trying to make deals at the deadline here, I've got to be mindful of expansion and who potentially could be chosen for my team. And if I trade for a guy, do I have to make a side deal for Seattle not to take that guy I just traded for?
Love this nonsense talk. I'm sorry. I think this is nonsense talk. All these teams are like, the 28th place team in the league's like, I got to be mindful of the really? If you lose that guy, what the hell? How can you be worse than you are? Like, all these guys are like, I've got to be thinking 6 months from now. We can't lose this backup. I'm like, your team is not that good, and why the hell do you care? It's like they're just talking to hear themselves talk. Really? You got to be mindful of the expansion draft? And I'm not talking about the guy you were talking to, Jamie, because I don't know who that was. But some of these guys, really? It doesn't matter. You should get rid of somebody. Change your team. They stink.
What I'm more surprised by is that did anyone learn a lesson from Vegas? Don't do it. Do it.
Take whoever you want.
Exactly. It's very simple. Take whoever you want. That sucks. You took him. He's a good player. Don't trade prospects and picks who turn into Marchessault, Riley Smith.
Riley Smith and Marchessault, and then don't take this other guy.
Yeah. Who was the other guy?
Take this guy and this guy. Yeah.
The other guy's like
Shea Theodore, but don't No, how about this one? Take Shea Theodore, but you got to stay away from Sammy Vatanen, man. Don't do that. It's like, what the hell are you doing? Yeah, no,
and managers are going to learn their lesson. The only guy by all accounts, my point being is if the manager I talk to has a pretty good team. So he's you know, you have to think that it doesn't matter. If he's trying to make his team deeper, you're already in it because your core is going to be there.
Of
there
course.
Might be somebody that might be available. That was his point. He was saying, I've got to be three steps ahead of this because if I have to give up a pick and a prospect for this guy, I might have to add in another pick just to protect the guy that I'm trading for. That's what he said to me, which was fair. I understand what you're saying. I don't think Seattle is going to have a sweetheart deal because you're right. Ken Holland, by all accounts, when he was in Detroit, was like, take whoever you want.
Yeah,
I'm not
did.
Giving you a pick.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone else was making side deals, right? Side deal this and side deal that.
You just mentioned something that never gets brought up because when they went to that cup final, when Vegas went on that cup final, it was more about how could Columbus give up William Karlsson, who scored 40 that year, and right. I think they gave up like a first and a third, and obviously the Florida two guys, the Minnesota guys, they gave up, was it Tuck and I can't remember who they gave up, two really good players, and yet Shea Theodore is a lock for Team Canada. He might be the top pairing Team Canada defenseman next year. This guy is an absolute stud that we don't focus on enough because he's not playing in the country. Anaheim gave him up because it was like, well, we can't give up Fowler. We can't give up Manson. You got to keep Vatanen. It's like the best of the best.
If the best one by a mile
is the one they got rid of.
If they should have got rid of the other three and said,
don't touch Theodore.
Theodore's the best of the bunch by a mile.
You're not wrong. If you go back on that, because my understanding, Clayton Stoner was in on that deal, and they had to take the Stoner contract. So we have to figure out who they actually took from Anaheim. But it was like, take the Stoner deal. Here's Shea Theodore.
Unbelievable.
But also take this player as well. So it was like, they took three players, they buried the Stoner deal, and got Shea Theodore, who's an absolute cornerstone piece.
Think about how well they have operated in Vegas. Like, it actually sickens me to an extent because they've barely been around. The fact that they let James Neal walk, brilliant management, never comes up. Like, they saw the writing on the wall. He was a rock star. I told you guys, I went down there while they were on that cup run. There were Neal jerseys everywhere. Blackjack dealers, guys throwing, you know, bones at the craps in Neal's jerseys. They were everywhere.
Yeah, that was the only one they were selling.
It was that and Fleury and...
Englund.
That was it.
Yeah, Derek Englund.
Derek Englund, because he's from Vegas or lived in Vegas. Yep. Fleury and Neal. Those were the three guys that got play in Vegas. Everywhere you turned. And they looked at his play, and he played really well, got them to a cup final. They said, not going to happen. We're not giving you a 5 or 6 year deal. And obviously it paid off beautifully. Well, like it paid off beautifully.
And eventually, I think, like, they played shorthanded the other night. They played with 5D, 11 and 5D they went the other night. And, you know, eventually something's going to bite. You know, Mark Stone, they gave a mountain of money to. And I love Mark Stone.
He's a Team Canada guy.
Yeah. You know, Pacioretty, they gave a mountain of money to. Petrangelo, they gave him. Eventually, near the end of those deals.
Paid. Yep.
Eventually, near the end of all of those three deals, it may not look the way that they envisioned, but they have found a way. Yeah.
Listen to this. This is how it all broke down. The Vegas Golden Knights were given a second-round pick to take Marc-Andre Fleury, Jonathan Marchessault to take Riley Smith, Alex Tuck to take Eric Halla, Shea Theodore to take Clayton Stoner, and a first and second to take William Karlsson and David Clarkson's contract.
Unbelievable.
Like, that is insanity.
Unbelievable.
Outrageous, as we say in the group text.
That Tuck is a player, too.
He's really a hell of a player.
Big, strong player. And really coming into his own. But you know what? That comes back to scouting. It comes back to management. And it was almost like George McPhee wrote his own ticket. He was like, you know what? I'm thinking about taking this player. And manager's like, don't take him. I really like him.
Okay, what are you going to give? One thing, Jamie, overvaluing your own people.
Yep.
It's like, why do you think your guy's that good where you got to throw a second-round pick, a first-round pick, Shea Theodore, William Karlsson, not to take some stiff on the – like, it's just –
well,
I think it's nonsense. I literally flat out say, take whoever you want.
Someone needs to write a book. Jerry Crum needs to write the book on the players that were being protected. For those deals to go down. Like, who are
it
you so scared
It honestly is
of?
A short story. It's a short story that would be fascinating to read.
Florida, well, Minnesota, Anaheim, Columbus, those four teams in particular.
Right.
Who did you think you had that was going to turn into Wayne Gretzky, Gordie Howe, Mario Lemieux, and Bobby Orr? Like, who did you think you had?
The only one I thought was really cool, and I think, I don't know if Kelly McCrimmon told us, but I either heard the story secondhand or from him telling us on air in Vegas, when they scouted William Karlsson, he had scored 9 goals or 8 goals and he had 0 power play time and he was playing farther down in the lineup too.
Didn't have a shot
because he was behind, I think, Cam Atkinson, and I think that's when Josh Anderson was playing really well and having a good season. Like, so I think he was kind of buried farther down in the lineup, and they were like, that guy with opportunity is going to be a better player. to me, that's sound scouting. Like, that's amazing
that's right.
scouting.
That's why Kelly McCrimmon was scouring the league, all the league, right. saying this guy, that guy, whatever. Yep. It's a brilliant job by Vegas.
And Ronnie Francis, he's a smart guy. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who they're trying to shape their team with and how they build it. I'll be honest. I knew when I was playing in St. Louis and I was their backup, I knew I was going to the Minnesota Wild. Like, there, you know, you want to talk about, I don't think it was collusion. It was just kind of accepted that I was going to be chosen in expansion. Like, that was the thing. We had a kid, Brent Johnson, that was going to push me out. Roman Turek was there. You know, I was on my way out. I had to sign an extension just to be exposed. So I had some leverage. Like, it was, and I knew, hey, I was going from a President Trophy team to an expansion team. And it was weird, but I had accepted it. And you wonder who right now is thinking, I'm playing for Seattle next year.
Oh, everyone's doing the math. Yeah, you've got to be doing the math. You'd be silly not to do the math based on what's available, who's being protected. We'll get into that more with Ray. Ray Ferraro will join us at 6:25. Steve Phillips on the Jays, they've dropped three in a row. He's coming up in about 20 minutes. Siwoo Kim broke his putter on 15 today. He had to putt his way in with a 3-wood. And last time I checked, he still got in at 4 under par. I think he putted fine on 16, 17, and 18. But then on 18, he had one of the worst handshake malfunctions with Charles Schwartzel. We'll break down the
trailer hitch.
It's a mess. It's a mess. We'll get to that more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. So I was out playing golf today. I was playing with the grappler, a.k.a. Benedict Arnold. I didn't realize this guy with his 2004 Nokia flip phone was taking videos of me. But he was, and there was one hole in particular. I was in a bit of a sticky spot, tough slope, black diamond-type slope, and I had to grind, and I found a way just to punch something down the fairway. That's all that mattered. But I was out there with the grappler, Frankie Corrado, great guy, great player too. And that video went viral because the grappler shot it, sent it to O posted it.
Yeah.
And I'm getting reaction. And everyone's the greatest player of all time. That's the best part. Everyone reacting to the shot is the greatest player in the history of golf, which I wasn't aware of that. I had so many followers online.
What is some of the typical feedback that you are receiving?
Well, the layup, which we all knew was coming, was you should be shooting left. 80% of respondents are, that's all you need to know as to why you should be shooting left. For starters, I'm not even sure that's me. That might have been Corrado. I think it's me, but it might have been Frankie. And, again, the slope, like, it's deceptive. The Deer Creek is the Augusta of the North. It's very hilly.
Yeah, but, dude, you're on a fade lie. Why are you trying to hook that golf ball with an Arnie Palmer follow-through
because
like that?
It's a dead dog leg
left. You almost fell down.
Dead dog leg left. That's why. I had to take it around the corner with, like, a 7-iron. And what the best part is, the next shot – I had a 7-iron again, about a buck 60 out, buck 65 into the fan. I put it to like 7 feet. Of course, the grappler doesn't have that video because he was finding his ball somewhere in the field. But whatever.
What was the grappler's action? Was it just all over the map?
Yeah, it was a typical grappler round. I mean, there were some bombs off the tee. There were other times where he took a massive pelt with a driver, and his putting was a bit outrageous, and he was fine. Like he's outrageous.
Outrageous is either outrageous or not outrageous.
It's totally just outrageous.
What was it?
It was outrageous. Yeah. But he birdied one. He starts with a birdie on one, and then it's downhill from there. But, no, he played pretty well, and Corrado played well. It was fun to get out. And we've been talking about Siwoo Kim, who broke his putter on 15, had to putt with a 3-wood coming home. He and Charles Schwartzel go in for the daps, handshake, daps, handshake, daps, handshake, finishing hole, and it's the most awkward video online right now. There it is. It's up on TSN 2. So, shake, dap, oh. It's crazy how bad it is. And look at Connors. There's Corey Connors.
Dude, there is,
get me out of here.
There's nothing worse in life because the first time I met Nabil, who now works at ESPN, I did the knuckle up, then the handshake, and my hand ended up like covering up his knuckle up, and it was just, it was a trailer hitch, and then it was my hand was over top of his hand, and I'm like, that was so weird. I always thought he was a cool dude watching him, and he just looked at me and he goes, we can't ever talk about this again. I'm like, dude, it was so awkward. I hated that that happened.
Yeah, everyone's just, had it. Everyone's been in that position where you don't know. Are we going
dude,
for the
you
got
to find a video. Grappler, find the video of Bubba Watson winning, and he's accepting the green jacket, and he goes in for the shake, and the guy doesn't shake, and then Bubba's hand. It was the weirdest
it's
thing.
It's the weirdest. Yeah.
We've
got to
play that one, too.
Yeah, it's the most awkward scenario, and every person on earth has been in it. Is it a shake? Is it a bump? Are we not doing it? Now you got elbows.
I have no idea. These guys are always like, there's nothing after the, like with COVID, we're not touching each other.
Yeah.
I love when these guys take their bucket off. They rub their grubby, greasy hairdo and straighten out their hair, and then they stick their hand out to shake somebody's hand. I'm like, that's gross.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. Gross. That's the end of the road for that. Final hour up next. We'll tee up the weekend at the Masters down at Augusta. The Jays in action tonight. Raptors tomorrow. Leafs tomorrow. That and more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson. You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-aided.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.